Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from wonderfully cold but sunny Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a phenomenal show lined up for all of you today. We have my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in from the Ozarks. And we've got a couple of really good guests lined up for today, don't we, Rhonda?
Yes, we sure do, and it's probably warmer here than it might be by you. It's a lovely sunny day here in the Ozarks, and I have a brand new deck out the back of my house with a beautiful view, and that's where I'm going to be doing most of the show from.
Oh, that's fantastic. I will be doing it from my deck as well. So from our deck to yours.
That's right. Yes, it is really
exciting. Let's see if I've got both of our guests unmuted. Do we have both Simon and Serena here with us?
Serena's here.
Simon, are you here too? Serena, are you the 4108 area code?
410, I think, Serena, right?
Yes, 410 is mine.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I knew who was who. I wonder where Simon is. Shall I go see if I can find him while you do an introduction, Rhonda?
Yeah, let me introduce. While you do that, I will kind of introduce the topic for today, and then I'll talk a little about Dr. Serena Reap, who's with us. And first of all,
I'll be back in a minute.
All right. So, Serena, I'm really excited that you're here, and this is going to be great. It's really fun when we are able to provide an experience that is quite unique. It's something you're not going to encounter all the time. So rather than just doing, you know, like a straight interview type of thing, talking to somebody, this will be, of course, talking to a couple of somebodies, but also it's going to be another live case study. And this has been so much fun. Last week on our show, we had Simon Mannering of WeFirstBranding.com, author, best-selling author of the book We First. And he has many, many accolades to his name for his book, including New York Times bestseller, best business book, and others. And Dr. Serena, whom I will introduce properly in a moment here, is about to release a book within the next couple of months, and she is definitely in the We First mindset of providing charitable contributions and connecting her book with a larger cause and community. And so what we're going to do is have Simon to help Dr. Serena through creating this launch in an awesome We First manner. So let me tell you just a little bit about Dr. Serena Reap, if I may here. She's the Chief Visionary Officer of the International Institute of Life Balance. She is an ex-college professor, as am I actually, Dr. Serena. She's a communication and relationship management coach, a corporate project management trainer, best-selling author already, and a motivational speaker. She considers herself to be a sociopreneur and likes to promote social causes in all of her ventures. Her passion is to transform the dysfunctional relationships that debilitate our everyday lives at work and at home and enable people to live a more purposeful and authentic life. Her expertise is in the area of intrinsic motivation, self-improvement, work-life balance, and quality of life issues at work.
And she has been seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox affiliates. She is an expert blogger for The Fast Company and The Huffington Post. Her book, Work-Life Balance is Dead, is a thought-provoking and paradigm-shifting book all about living an authentic life, unfettered by the weight of all the usual constraints and constrictions that affect balance at work and at home. And she is giving a wake-up call to corporations and is really doing so much to help people with their work-life balance. So, Dr. Serena, we're very excited, and there's many more things that you do, but I'd be here reading your bio all day if I did all of that, so welcome to our show.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Excellent. And Gina, are you back with Simon? Nope, she's still working on that.
I am back, but I have just learned that Simon is on a plane to Australia as we speak.
Oh!
He got his time zones messed up.
Do-do-do-do, let's do the radio shuffle, do-do-do-do.
There you go.
Okay, so
Luckily, I did brainstorm this a little bit with him last week, and we might just be able to wing it without him.
Okay.
I'm talking to Morgan, his assistant, right now, so let me see what I can do to get this straightened out.
Very good. All right. So, well, as you're doing that...
I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I'll talk with Serena here for a moment. So, Serena, you are obviously, Dr. Serena, you're obviously on a mission to make sure that people have a balanced lifestyle. And can you share what it was that, what really started you off realizing that people are so unbalanced and that you have this special gift to help them find that balance?
Absolutely. The way, in order to kind of explain that, because mine is a totally, totally unorthodox way of looking at work-life balance. So in order to put a framework around that, I need to give you a little bit of a backstory, which is really my life story. I was brought up in a very dysfunctional family. And my way of... As a very young child, my response to my dysfunctional environment was to kind of walk away from there emotionally, cut myself off emotionally, even though physically as a child I had to be in that environment. And so what I did was I became very, very immersed in my schoolwork and trying to excel in school as a way of compensating or even overcompensating for the dysfunctions going on at home. And I became this very, very, by other people's definition, a very unbalanced person. In that my whole life was around my school and getting the best grades and being the top person, top student in the class and so on. And that kind of motivated me throughout college. And, you know, I graduated in the fastest amount of time in just about every area, and including getting my PhD at unheard of speeds. And all of this kind of led me to see why my life was different and how other people's lives were different. What is it that caused me to be where I am and what I am, and what is it that other people are doing and facing? You know, what can I learn from them, and what can they learn from me? This is the kind of passion that I began to work with, and as I was noticing people around me, and people would come to me for advice, and I would realize that they were all scattered all over the place. Meaning they had, you know, a lot of different interests and a lot of different goals and expectations and so on and so forth, and they weren't able to concentrate on any of them. And the societal expectations of what they ought to be, you know, a good mother or a student, a good spouse and so on and so forth, causing a lot of overwhelm for them. So that kind of started me to think about how the traditional way of balancing work and life was not working. In fact, especially in today's technology, today's society, the internet and the mobile technology have created basically a jail on wheels. Your work goes everywhere you go, and it doesn't
right.
start at 9 and doesn't stop at 5. And so trying to make that balance of work and life is almost like the way I describe it in my book is that it's like a goalpost with wings. As soon as you get close to it, it takes flight and it's gone again. And you're continuously, you know, working toward and running toward this elusive goal. So I started redefining the things in a way to say that, hey, look, the balance should never be between you and your work. It should never be between your life and your work. Instead, the balance is really between what you do and who you are, what your purpose and passion in life is. So that's kind of where I'm coming from in defining the work-life balance. You know,
yeah, and that's great. Yeah. There is so much expectation to be exemplary at everything and to constantly be doing things, and that really you can become a human going from one task to another versus doing any of it on purpose, right?
Correct, exactly. You know, and I use 3 M's as an example. The 3 M's are Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, and Martin Luther King. I use these 3 M's as a way to describe to them what my concept is about. I say, by most people's definition, these 3 people, their lives were very, very unbalanced because they had one purpose,
right?
One goal, and everything else in their life was secondary to that purpose. But were they really? They're not. In fact, my contention and my thesis of the book is that they are the most balanced people.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for their being most balanced is the fact that they knew what their life's purpose was. They had a commitment, unswerving commitment to that sense of purpose. And that's what made everything else in their life, all the other pieces, come and fit together very nicely. It's not a jigsaw puzzle where you try and fit many disparate pieces together, but it's instead one core energy, one very, very clear sense of direction. And then it's much, much easier to fit all the other pieces of your life together with it. That's the essence.
Well, and
yeah.
You know, what's really interesting about that, Serena, is that is exactly what I teach entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
My message to entrepreneurs is you can't separate your life and your business.
Exactly.
It's physically impossible to do. They are 2 parts of one whole.
Right.
And if you can really get clear on what you were put on this planet to do,
mm-hmm.
it can guide everything you do in both your life and your business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what you're doing with getting out there with this book. It's
mm-hmm.
really for you
mm-hmm.
about that mission that you have and the reason that you're here on this planet. How you do that
mm-hmm.
needs to be done in alignment with whatever your purpose really is.
Correct.
So
absolutely.
What is your purpose in doing this?
My purpose is to shed some light on why other people are overwhelmed, why other people are so stressed out, whereas I see myself more at peace with myself than most people are with themselves. So, in fact, that's the purpose, that's the reason why a lot of people come to me and say, how could you possibly be all this? How could you possibly do this? And I don't ever remember in my entire life having one job. I've had 2 jobs, 3 jobs, and so on and so forth, and a personal life. So people are always overwhelmed. They say, my God, I can't even just keep up with 1 job. How do you do what you do? And I try to use that, my example, and what drove me to where I am as being my core purpose of wanting to help other people, wanting to shed some light based on my own sense of who I am and my own sense of direction for my life and say, you know, maybe this is something that you can do. Maybe this is another way for you to look at things. So rather than judging yourself by what your parents told you is the right thing to do, or your friends and family, others have told you what to do, or you yourself began to internalize from the societal forces around you about what you are and what you ought to be, give a break to all that and kind of spend some time thinking about what it is that you really want. And that's where I help people. Some of the people don't even really have a clear sense because they never really sat down and thought about who they are and what they are and what they want out of life. They just were led by all these other expectations and without ever even thinking that they needed to think on their own. It was like it was a given for them that whatever is around them that is accepted as the norm is how they should be behaving. So sometimes we start at that point to disengage from what the world is telling you, what your family is telling you, what your neighbors are telling you.
Mm-hmm. If Simon were here, Simon would help you gain a better understanding of the new marketplace that every business is out there doing business in. Your customers today, their buying behavior today is very different than it was even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers are now in this connected world because of social media. And you've got to do things different if you really want to achieve that purpose and complete that bigger mission that you're put on this planet to achieve. And in talking about that, Simon has come up with what he calls a social branding blueprint. And as he's been doing his product launch for the Social Branding Blueprint Home Study Course, one of the things that I've realized is that most people who hear his message think about this as a concept that is the equivalent of how to use social media to get more exposure for your business. And that's not really what the Social Branding Blueprint is all about. That's a baby part of it. The bigger part of it is defining what the brand is, deciding what the brand's personality will be, and creating the story for the brand that is consistent with the mission and the purpose behind the brand. Doing it in a way that develops a story that you then use social media to really get out to the world. And in doing that, you're really creating a brand community, a community of loyal people who love what the brand stands for so much that they tell everybody they know about it. And in the end, it really brings about the success of your project, your brand, your business, and causes it to fulfill whatever its mission or purpose is. So there's a step-by-step process that Simon would walk you through, and I'm going to try and do it, although probably not in the eloquent terms that Simon would be using. So it all starts with understanding your customer and their buying habits, and understanding what they really want, what they're willing to spend money on. And in doing that, coming up with the brand definition. Simon talks about that as the mission, the values, and the vision of your brand. And he really wants you to develop authenticity and transparency in what the brand is all about, so that it can really help you to create a story that really gives meaning to what the brand stands for. As you get ready to put this book on work-life balance out to the world, you are really passionate about helping one particular organization. Who is that and why?
It's Susan G. Komen Foundation. And the reason that that is very centrally aligned with my goals is this. Most of the research is showing, again, there are a few that kind of contradict this, but the majority of the research done in mind-body balance is showing that a lot of the stress that women today are going through, a lot of the overwhelm that they are facing is at least contributing to, if not causing, deadly diseases like cancer. And so by helping people understand how to balance their lives, not work and life, but rather their life itself, around the things that are meaningful to them, around the things that will give them a sense of hope, satisfaction, and purpose, my goal is to be able to create an internal environment for the people that would help them be maybe not necessarily cancer-free. That may be too much of a goal to hope for, but certainly create an environment within their own bodies that would lessen the possibility of cancer. And when they do, it helps them deal with it better and so on. So I see my values of trying to create a life that is stress-free and overwhelm-free, one that gives them a sense of purpose and direction, as helping them deal with their cancer if they have, and if they don't, helping them to make sure they don't get in that direction, they don't become quite as prone to cancer. So that is the link that I see that would help my cause and also help people who are in that deadly disease right now.
You and I have been talking about your new book and the book launch that you want to do in January since sometime in July. And it was only very recently that I finally figured out why the Susan G. Komen Foundation and how it was tied to what you're working on. And when I saw that, I was like, you know, that doesn't come across when you first hear you talk about this book and the topic of the book. It's going to be really important to the success of this that that story, that that bigger purpose is in the messaging. That's what's going to attract people in big numbers to wanting to buy your book. How can we craft this as a story that becomes a very succinct way of saying all that you just said, to really get this out there? Rhonda, maybe you can help us come up with a way of telling this as a story in just a couple of paragraphs.
Yeah, I mean, because it's really going to be good to have a couple of paragraphs version and even like a one-sentence distillation of the message, because sometimes when you need more like a soundbite or something very quick to at least give people that first sense of either I'm in or I'm out.
What but Ben would call your glory story, those few words or a phrase that you can come up with that right. is exactly what you want for every single person whose life you touch through your book.
Right. In terms of thinking first about a couple of paragraphs, something that can be said quickly in simple in simplistic language that everybody can understand. One thing you want to be really kind of aware of is throwing around words like dysfunctional and whatever tends to talk above a lot of people's heads. So just to be aware of that as you craft the story, to keep it very simple. And I say this not because people are stupid or anything of that nature. It's just that's a very specific kind of therapy speech that you just want to be aware of. And in crafting the story, it's going to be talking about the essentially the hero's journey of your ideal reader. So what is it that they're looking or questing for? The troubles that they are having, that's their road of trials, all their trials and tribulations and difficulties. And then how working with you, with your book, with your business and your material is going to bring them to that place where they want to be, to their to achieve the object of their quest or their desire.
What is the title of the book, Serena?
It's Work-Life Balance is Dead. That's the main title.
And is there a subtitle as well?
Yeah, the subtitle is Your Personal GPS for Living an Authentic Life.
Good. So the GPS gives you a wonderful metaphor in which to, around which to wrap your story.
Okay.
Because it's something that people understand, and it's also relevant to the message that you have about how the technology keeps people constantly plugged in and and connected in ways that can unbalance them and keep them off purpose. So one way that you might do this in terms of a story is to tell it in the sense that, and tying in the Susan J. Komen Foundation as well, but in terms of telling it in the way that how if you're trying to get to a destination without a GPS, just going to what looks interesting or what seems important, how that can keep you off track and that you never really get where you want to go because you don't really even know where you're going or what the best route is to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then tie in how that foundation and your book are going to help them get there.
Okay.
Is there a brand that you're going to tie the book to?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by brand that I'm going to tie it to, because I don't think you really mean, you know, like a, you know, a logo.
So
or
I have many different information products, any one of which could easily be turned into a book by the same title. I have the Miracle Mindset Program. I have Abundant Info Products, How to Make Big Bucks with Info Products Fast, 21 Days to Blogging Profits, Secret Confessions of the JV Queen, Giveaway Secrets of the JV Queen. They're all different titles, but every single product that I've ever created and any books that I ever author will all be tied to my one core brand. And my core brand is Directions University, which is all about four things: getting direction for both your life and your business, showing you how to give direction to your customers and prospects, and more than anything, it's really about impacting the direction of the world. Every product that DU has, all of the info products, any books I might create, the coaching programs, they're all about those four things. People identify with that brand much more so than they do with the title of any product or book. And people are really motivated to become a part of the community that the brand stands for. You want to have a unifying brand, not just for this book, but for any product that you put out there. And that one word or two words, whatever that brand's name is, will really form the basis for the community that it creates.
That is the life balance.
And what domain name will you be using for both the book launch and the other products that you create?
I just recently got the URL for International Institute for Life Balance. And that's the flag under which all of these will be pulled together.
So Life Balance Institute.
No, it's not Life Balance Institute, because that's already taken. It's International Institute for Life Balance.
Okay, but it's a big mouthful and a very long domain name, and it's going to need a shorthanded way of saying it,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to run into issues with people being able to get it right to tell their friends.
Okay.
So can we say Institute for Life Balance?
We can, but it's going to take them someplace else.
Is the domain name Institute for Life Balance available?
No.
Well, how can we make International Institute of Life Balance into something shorter?
Well, just the initials. Or we can just simply say life balance, even though International Institute will be in the formal name. But
yeah, I'm concerned about people having to do all that typing. If that's really a hideously long domain name, is what you actually use.
So many opportunities for misspellings in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on a phone trying to tap it out with a little teensy keypad or on a tablet or something, I'm in this membership site where the domain name is really long, and every time I have to go type it in, I'm like, oh, God. And I saved it, but I mean, the first time it was so
right.
long.
I understand.
And I tried 3 times before I got it right. So you don't want people to be going through that.
Okay.
Is Life Balance Academy available?
I searched a whole bunch of the stuff, but I'm not sure about that. I can go, I'm not at a computer right now, but I'm at a phone, but I can certainly check that out.
Let me play around with it while we talk. How's that?
Okay.
So what is that one thing that every person whose life you touch will come away with? Obviously, balance in their life,
mm-hmm.
but is there a big benefit in that we can craft the glory story and the brand blueprint or definition around? Any ideas, Rhonda?
I sent a core values thing. I'm looking for my piece of paper here, and I can't find what I sent, and unfortunately not being near my computer, I don't have that, but I believe I have some.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was around not only just the customers feeling cared for by you, but customers caring about the cause. I mean, that's just what I remember from having read it once
earlier. Yeah, there were a couple of other statements. Oh, gosh, I thought
right.
I had actually printed that one, but it looks like I did not.
Let me go see if I can find it. I remember seeing it. I just found a really good domain name.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Life Balance University. Short is lifebalanceu.com, the letter U. That is available, Serena.
Now, remember we had this conversation 2 weeks ago that having university in the name is a problematic thing. I had written to a couple of attorneys.
Not a U.
But not with just the letter U. It
That's
is lifebalanceu. .com
right.
instead of lifebalanceuniversity.com. Nice and short, and it doesn't have the same legal implications as lifebalanceuniversity.com.
But it,
mm-hmm.
would I be referring to it in normal
as
conversation?
As Life Balance University. Just like I just introduced myself on the show. Gina
right.
Gaudio Graves, the dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. Very easy.
Okay.
And that's available in .com, .net, .org, .biz, .info. Every single one of them are available.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So you could really choose which one you want.
Actually, for the other one, International Institute, I have all 4 or 5 of them. So I would want to make sure that if whatever I get, I would want to have as many of the closely related ones as possible. So that
yeah, every one of them is available with Life Balance U.
Right. Okay.
Life Balance Institute, all of them are taken. Life Balance Academy, all of them are taken. You're really right.
Yeah.
International Institute of Life Balance is probably the only one you're going to be able to get all of them on.
Right.
But my concern is both International and Institute have so many opportunities for misspellings. With
yep.
International, I-O-N and O-I-N, people mistype constantly.
Mm-hmm.
With Institute, they sometimes leave out one of the ITs in the middle of it and will type it just quickly and miss it. There's just
yep.
a lot of different issues when you get a domain name that's that many words with getting it all spelled perfectly every time. And the whole idea behind doing something like a bestseller campaign, especially a New York Times bestseller campaign, the whole idea of that is to really create a movement, if you will, to create such huge raving fans that they're telling everybody that they know about it. And it is so much easier to accomplish that goal if it's really very quick and easy to say. It's really quick and easy to spell without a lot of misspelling opportunities. I know with Directions U, I get people typing in direction singular U. I get directions plural U, direction Y-O-U, directions Y-O-U. I get I-O-N and O-I-N. Just because people are so busy and they're doing the shorthanded version of it, it's only one word and one letter, and yet there's so many different ways people try to get there.
Uh-huh.
The more words you have in the brand, the more types of things that happens with.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that in putting the brand out there, that even if they get it wrong, you're the only one that they end up finding.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really think about Life Balance U. I like it for two reasons. It can really imply Life Balance Y-O-U and
right.
Life Balance University at the same time. That's
yep.
a really big deal for your audience.
Okay.
And I think they will really be able to rally around the message behind the brand when it's so nice and short and easy to remember and say.
Okay.
Anyone that's coming out of the Life Balance U is really going to walk away feeling like they are in a state of joy, that they're really empowered to live their life in a way that feels good, that really has them being a part of this community of people mm-hmm. who are all doing the same thing.
Right.
If you can come up with that one couple of words or phrase,
mm-hmm.
like Directions U is all about these four things. It says mm-hmm. Life Balance U is all about these three things or this one thing. It will make it that much easier to really get them to want to be a part of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I agree. Okay.
What are those things that you can think of that it's all about for them?
It's about creating a harmonious, stress-free, joyful life.
Love it.
Uh-huh.
And doing it in a way that can help to prevent cancer.
Or any other life-threatening diseases.
Mm-hmm. You know, when many people talk about work-life balance, typically out in the wider world, beyond Dr. Serena, often they're not so much thinking of the health aspect. They're more thinking of balancing the time. I mean, that's just the kinds of articles you read and things that you see.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the things that I say in my book repeatedly, is that the calendar or the appointment book are not your resources. They are not your solutions. That is essentially driving you astray from the issues that you really need to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about balance in terms of your health, your relationships, your work.
Yes, your work relationships, your personal relationships, your spiritual relationships, your community relationships. These are the things that you need to think about balancing toward and around that one major goal, that is who you are and what your passion is.
Uh-huh. Simon would talk about that as being the brand personality. The brand's personality is about more than just time management.
Right.
And it's about more than just overcoming stress. Your brand's personality is all about a harmonious life in every aspect.
Correct.
Not just one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Right.
Have you approached the Susan G. Komen Foundation yet? About your book and what you want to do.
So far, I've been talking to a few people who are individual area people. I have not had a chance to talk with any top-level people that can make a difference in terms of the entire organization.
And with the people that you've approached so far, how have they responded?
One person didn't seem very much into it, and she just, and it may just be the time that I approached her, but a couple of the people seemed very enthused and very interested, and were willing to, you know, put my information on their websites and so on and so forth. And I'm definitely going to pursue that. My concern, however, was I need to reach higher, because when I looked at the traffic for their websites, it didn't seem like going in that direction, in the direction of specific regional or local Susan G. Komen Foundation websites was going to be as effective. It seemed like I needed to think higher, higher in the sense of organizationally speaking, higher.
And the websites that these smaller organizations have, are they part of Komen.org, which is the main site for Susan G. Komen Foundation?
It say things like, you know, Susan G. Komen Foundation, Annapolis, or it'll say Susan G. Komen Foundation, Baltimore, or whatever. So I'm not sure with the way they are whether that's actually part of or not. I don't know how I would. I need to go back and look at it and see if, you know, if they're part of a network, so that if you're in one, you're in the others. I'm not sure about that, how they're organized, the websites.
Well, if we go onto the main Komen.org website, there
okay.
is a section on their site that's called Partners and Sponsors. And underneath Partners and Sponsors, there's the Million Dollar Council Elite, the Million Dollar Council, corporate partners, and even a link to become a partner or sponsor. Now, on the become a partner or sponsor, they talk about corporate partners. American Airlines is a corporate partner. It says, in today's economy, Americans believe it's more important than ever for companies to be socially responsible. In fact, 83% of Americans wish more of the products, services, and retailers they use would support causes. And there's actually a study that they cite, which is the 2010 Cone Cause Evolution Study. And then they go on to say, we welcome the opportunity to develop new corporate sponsorships. We strive to provide each of our donors with a unique way to support the cause that is important to them. Komen for the Cure strongly adheres to the Better Business Bureau's standards for charity accountability. I have no idea what those standards are, but they do provide a link to go and check them out. And it says, if your company meets these initial criteria and you'd like to explore a mutually beneficial relationship with Komen for the Cure,
please contact Melinda Taylor. Her email address is mlikemelindataylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, @comin.org. Whether you are looking to market a product using Comin's licensed marks, have a specific proposal in mind, or would just like to speak to one of our cause-related marketing professionals and how you can begin a partnership with Susan G. Komen for the Cure, we would love to hear from you.
I will do that later this afternoon after we're done with the phone call.
I think that's a great direction to get started.
Yep, I will do that this afternoon. As soon as I get off the phone, I will send an email as well as see if I can reach the person directly and have a conversation.
Uh-huh. And in doing that, one of the things that they really are likely to talk to you about is what's in it for them.
Right.
What is in it for them?
Before any product, the book purchase prior to the launch, the month prior to the launch, will be 100% of the profits will be donated to the cause. And after the launch, 50% of the profits will be donated to the launch for the life of the book.
Awesome. And if you meet your goals, how much does that mean you will put into their pocket from the book launch itself?
I'm not quite sure, because I've been changing these numbers in terms of, if you'll recall, the last couple of times we started with 20,000 and then we thought that maybe it doesn't need to be that high. We might be able to make the goal with somewhere like 10,000 and so on. So I'm not quite sure, but it should be, at least with the 20,000, it should be $100,000.
How about a per book amount, so approximately, $5 or whatever that amount is?
Right, that's why I'm saying for 20,000, it would come out to be 100K.
Mm-hmm. And if they see that and they see that the more that they also can help you sell, then that means, another $5 per book times however many. So
right.
That can be a way to help them realize that the reality of the numbers and
right. Actually,
how that's going to be fast.
Right. Definitely. And also, the more books they sell, my printing costs are going to come down, so that means there'll be more amount in the kitty for them.
Oh, I'm just looking at the PDF document that they have, that's the corporate partnerships fact sheets, and it outlines what the initial requirements are for businesses wanting to work with them through a partnership or sponsorship. And in addition to meeting the Better Business Bureau's recommendations, there's a section in here called limitations. And it says, Komen is currently unable to accept proposals in the following business categories. And it then lists a whole bunch of business categories. Airlines, alcoholic beverages, athletic shoes and apparel, automobiles, books, CDs, firearms, online auctions, sunglasses, vacuums, watches, and yogurt. They will not accept corporate sponsorships from any of those.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a bit of an issue right there.
Oh, it was
because of this
of
being a book. It
uh-huh.
is.
Yeah,
okay.
Books and CDs were among them.
Okay.
Now, there are three different types of corporate sponsorships or partnerships. Another one is called Passionately Pink for the Cure. If you like having fun and supporting a great cause, Passionately Pink for the Cure is for you. It's as easy as planning something fun, inviting others to join you, and raising money to fight breast cancer at the same time. You have the freedom to choose what you do. Find lots of great ideas here or on our website. You also choose whatever date you want and how much money you want to raise to support the foundation in the fight for breast cancer. You'll find everything you need in our downloadable Team Captain's Kit, from posters to sample emails to breast health information. There might be a secondary program through this Passionately Pink for the Cure.
Uh-huh.
just looking at some of the things that they have on their website, there was one person that had a no shave November. There was the pink mustache month. It was something that was both fun for a group and supporting breast cancer and Susan G. Komen at the same time. They have ideas on their website for how to do this in the workplace, with community,
okay,
in school, and friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you probably wouldn't qualify with the corporate partnership, this looks like it could be really, really easy to qualify for.
Okay.
International Association of Firefighters is passionately pink. Look for the bravest in their pink duty shirts this October. So all of the firefighters wore pink shirts and raised money for Komen doing it that way. A neighborhood lemonade stand. A group of kids got together and did a pink lemonade stand supporting Passionately Pink for the Cure. A golf organization did the Teed Up Pink golf outing that raised money for it. A town in pink, Douglas, Georgia, brought in over $34,000 from businesses and governmental offices who all agreed to wear pink for this Passionately Pink month. Silly Pink Days is another one. Santa Monica Passion for Pink, Wearing Pink is Hot. Corpus Christi firefighters raised $7,000. A horse riding group did a prancing in pink party, pink desserts from restaurants, pink snow lady fundraising challenge. We could easily come up with an event that
mm-hmm.
takes place during your book launch that would be maybe having the book cover for the launch in pink.
Right now the book cover is already
it's done, yeah.
I'm trying to think how to change that to I guess.
Well, even if the cover wasn't pink though, I mean there's still ways that it still could be done, having pink things on your website and giving the donations and encouraging people to do things or whatever. Even if the book cover is not pink, you can still come up with a client.
Mm-hmm.
The Life Balance in Pink Week?
Yep.
Anyone committed to having balance in their life wears pink ribbons or a pink hat or a pink something that they can get through your website for the week of the event or the 2 weeks of the event.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we could create a pink QR code that
mm-hmm.
you can
I thought
use
the QR
to get people opting in for it.
Maybe there. I thought PR codes had to be in that black and white whatever. I didn't know you could do them in color.
No, that is a very common misnomer.
Ah.
No,
if you want to. No. You can even have a logo on it.
You have a logo on it. It can't be a picture, but it can be a color.
The logo can have a picture. It just can't take up more than a certain portion of it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to create a QR code for free, you can go onto Google and use their QR code builder. And when you do that, it absolutely is going to be black and white. But through the shortcut group, we actually have an application that allows us to create pretty QR codes that are colored, that even have a logo in it. It would be very easy for us. Still works the same way.
Oh.
We can use it to either have it open a web page, download a PDF, or even have someone opt into a list. They can be used to do any action.
Wow. Okay, I guess I'll get with Renee about that.
Yeah, if you just go to askggg.com. /QR code singular.
Okay.
You can order pretty QR codes and you'll see some samples there. my cousin's restaurant is called Fred's Diner, and Fred is their pet chihuahua. Their logo is red, white, and black, and it's the cutest little picture of a chihuahua. I mean, really precious. So you'll see on that page that we took the red, white, and black and used it to create a pretty QR code in red, white, and black. And embedded on it is the logo of Fred, the chihuahua. It's adorable.
Okay, I will go take a look.
Yesterday I saw the coolest thing. I'd never seen this before, and I went, holy cow, is that amazing. There's a woman in the area that's one of the bigger names in real estate, and she's pretty well known. If you've been in this area, even on vacation for a week, you've seen her face plastered everywhere. Well, she was driving down the street yesterday, and she drives a really big Cadillac. On the back of the Cadillac, like on the portion of the trunk just above the taillights, she had a gigantic QR code, and her logo is purple and gold, just like the DU colors. Well, her QR code must have been 10 inches square, and it was purple and gold, and embedded in it was her picture in a purple and gold jacket and blouse.
Wow.
And
are
you
kidding me?
You could be three or four cars away, and it was big enough that I opened up my QR code scanner. I was four cars away, and I could scan it from four cars away.
Wow.
And it opted me into her list. How cool is that? There's nothing else, just this QR code in purple and gold with her picture. And as I was stopped at this light, I'm looking around. There must have been 10 cars that had phones out scanning her QR code.
Really?
Just for curiosity, if nothing else. That's great.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Oh, Gina,
and
that gave
nothing,
me an idea.
There's nothing else on her car that identifies her as a realtor, and you can't see the picture from far away well enough. You're just really intrigued by what is that purple and gold thing all about?
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Imagine having a piece of clothing with that, you know, on it as well.
Really good idea.
That's what came. I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to have, like, a jacket or a scarf or something with a cool QR code that people could scan it if they see me at an event. I'm sure that is just a really cool idea.
Make the whole back a QR code so that even if you're in the front of the room and they're in the back, they can still scan it.
Yeah, in the on the back and maybe like on the front on a pocket or on the side, you know, whatever, on the front panel or something as well. That would be so incredibly cool. You're walking.
I wouldn't put it on the front for this reason. When Bill has T-shirts that he wears that he's gotten from events, even if the domain name is on the front of the T-shirt, people are super hesitant to walk up and ask him about it.
Mm.
If it's on the back where they don't have to be, like, looking at his chest.
Right.
Totally changes everything, and they come up and ask him about it every time he wears this one T-shirt that has something on the back. All the others with it on the front, nobody ever mentions anything.
Wow. Good to know.
That's amazing.
That's very cool. Very, very
and
cool.
And especially with you being a woman, if you had it, say, on a pocket on your breast, people would really be not as interested in staring at it to understand it just because they don't want to be caught looking at your boobs.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking a little lower pocket, not a chest pocket. But yes, I get what you mean. Makes sense. Yeah.
We're almost out of time. Boy, how time flies when you're having fun.
Are you kidding? It's
I thought we were like 90 minutes or so.
Into the conversation. I didn't realize we were an hour into the conversation.
I didn't either. But
I
think you've gotten some really good ideas for
how to
craft the story in a way that's really going to energize people.
Yes.
Now if we can come up with a way to make this the pink for the cure being tied to that story, I think you got a really winning combination on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I'm going
to
put my thinking cap on and start working on it.
Talk to that person, that Ms. Taylor, and see if there's a way that, you can tie it in so that they get a donation when someone clicks a QR code or something of that nature, so that you can easily tie it into the launch and still give the donation and everything to the right place.
That's okay. Cool.
And I don't even think you need to go to that level of having the donation come from the QR code. If the QR code can simply take them to a place where they get information about buying the book during the launch, so that the book proceeds go to the Komen Foundation.
I don't think you have to change that piece at all. That's what I was thinking of. I was thinking that the QR code will take them to an opt-in page with all the description of the cause and the book and the relationship and how they can opt into that.
Then after they've opted in because of the QR code, on the page they learn that they can tell all of their friends to get everybody supporting this launch to help the Komen Foundation. That will work really well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great. And hopefully we can get Simon back another time and still do this, what we had planned, and that would be awesome.
He gets back from Australia on Monday, so we'll see what we can do to get Simon to come back and do this with you. I'm so sorry about that, Serena. Next Tuesday.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We still got some ideas, so that's fine. I understand things happen.
Yeah, they do. It's been a pleasure to have you, Dr. Serena Reap, and we appreciate you. And also, we're going to want a status update after the launch as to how everything went, what happened, what you learned, all those good things.
Absolutely.
So it'll be great to have you back afterwards as well.
And how can people find out about Serena? I'm sorry?
Where do they find her?
Where's the best website for you? I'm not on a computer.
It's serenasays.com.
And that's SERENASEZ.com, SerenaSays.com. Well, thank you so much, Serena. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
We will be back next week.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.